Hello, and welcome to the April 19th episode of Investing Beyond Borders, a podcast from Miranda Law Firm that brings you regular insight on investment opportunities and legal and regulatory updates from throughout the Miranda Alliance world. This week, we bring you news on European Union ocean conservation and blue economy initiatives, mining and tourism in Angola, renewables and power sector news in Cape Verde and Mozambique, the economic growth outlook in international trade in Timor-Leste, and other major developments in our jurisdictions. Sit back, relax, and enjoy Investing Beyond Borders. Deanna, over to you.
We start this week's episode with news that the European Union is financing ocean conservation projects in several countries, including Portugal, Angola, Mozambique, and Mauritania. Portugal will receive up to 1.9 billion euros to be shared with Greece, Spain, Cyprus, and Poland in their recovery and resilience plans to support investments and reforms in sustainable fisheries and aquaculture for the 2020-2026 period. The sustainability of blue economies will be financed in Portugal and Italy with up to 130 million euros, also to be used in the recovery and resilience plans to support investments in the sector. West African countries will also benefit from this program, with 35 million euros going to Mozambique, 30 million to Angola, and 10 million to Mauritania. These actions were announced during the Our Ocean Conference, an international effort launched in 2014 and organized annually by a different government, with the aim of promoting global ocean governance and actions to support marine conservation and sustainable development. The initiative has since mobilized over 2,000 commitments worth over 120 billion euros. In Portugal, the government is to approve tax cuts for the middle class worth 1.5 billion euros in an effort to free up capital for companies and workers and revive growth and investment. The executive is looking to cut income tax rates with a focus on the middle class by 0.5 to 3 percentage points from 2023 levels. Income tax rates currently vary between a minimum of 13% and a maximum of 48% across different salary brackets, meaning that the effective rate for middle-class taxpayers can be 30% or more. Angola has welcomed its first venture capital investment company, Petrofund, which aims to provide financing alternatives for national companies. Petrofund is positioning itself to be a promising agent in boosting investment and business development in Angola, opening up new opportunities for the country's economic growth as it is looking to be an ally to Angolan companies in the oil and gas sector, as well as financing companies outside the oil sector. The Secretary of State for Mineral Resources has stated that attracting investment to the mining sector is among the government's priorities, as it would lead to discovering new geological mining potential to exceed the annual production of 10 million carats of diamonds and developing multiple value chains in the sector. According to the government, the sector's current challenge is to increase the production of various precious stones and metals, increase the production and processing of ornamental rocks, and make the most of other resources such as iron, phosphate, and potash. This investment would also help grow the production of ferrous metals, increase diamond cutting, and improve Angola's geological knowledge to drop maps and update the inventory of mineral resources in the country. Boosting tourism is also on the government's priority list, as the executive is carrying out an assessment of the sector in order to gain a better understanding of the constraints that prevent tourists from maximizing their stays and coming to the country on a large scale. The assessment will consist of analyzing the main barriers when it comes to tourism, as well as listening to the main tourism operators in the various fields, from hotels and resorts to tourist sites and tourism agencies, about their vision and existing constraints. During a meeting between the Angolan president and the Zambian ambassador, both countries have announced the construction of an oil pipeline. The Zambian diplomat claimed his country was interested in cooperating with Angola on the Lobito refinery in Benguela, also revealing that Zambia will start buying energy from Angola, for which it will need the interconnectivity infrastructure. The two officials also discussed the importance of integrating the Lobito Corridor, the need to involve the private sector in projects of common interest, and the revision of some legal instruments linked to the transformation and transport of electricity to Zambia. In Cape Verde, the government has signed a contract with the domestic, partly state-owned wind power operator Cabeolica to support its wind farm expansion and battery installation projects, increasing the archipelago's renewable energy production capacity to 30% by 2025 and contributing to annual cost savings of over 9 million euros in fuel imports. The project gathered an investment of over 45 million euros, financed by the European Investment Bank, the African Development Bank, and AFC Equity Investments, used to add more turbines to its Santiago wind farm, a battery energy storage system in Santiago, and another unit on the island of Sal. Côte d'Ivoire will benefit from a World Bank portfolio of $6 billion US to support the country's inclusive development through expedited economic growth, energy transition, and finance. The package covers 62 projects, which include projects in the areas of digital infrastructure, transportation, medicine, and climate. According to the World Bank's Multilateral Investment Guarantee Agency, this new guarantee platform will enable the government to mobilize private sector investments to focus resources on high-impact projects and support large-scale transformative programs for greener and sustainable growth in Côte d'Ivoire. Gabon is hosting the country's very first international construction and infrastructure exhibition, scheduled for June. The event, organized in association with the Ministries of Economy, Public Works and Housing, was created to bring together professionals, investors, contractors, and vendors of construction equipment and materials in a gathering of innovation, networking, and skill building. Under the theme Investing in Construction and Infrastructure for a Sustainable Africa, participants at this three-day event, which fits in perfectly with the current authorities' ambition to focus heavily on infrastructure development, will have the opportunity to hear renowned experts share their knowledge and perspectives on the challenges and opportunities of this fast-growing sector. Over in Mozambique, the country's economic reform stimulus program, launched in 2022, appears to be yielding results as the country navigates the current global challenges. According to the update provided by the Economic Reforms Coordination Office, fiscal stimuli and a more streamlined tax system have injected a sizable indirect boost to businesses, freeing up resources for modernizing businesses and improving workplaces. Efforts to improve natural resource revenue management also appear to have paid dividends, with a 30% year-on-year increase in mining tax receipts recorded in the last quarter of 2023. The reforms have also had a major impact on strengthening governance, transparency, and digitalization across the public sector. As Mozambique aims to achieve universal access to energy by 2030, with measures that include the expansion of the electricity infrastructure and off-grid solutions, the country has received a grant of $25 million from the African Development Bank and $100 million from other funding agencies to finance the Sango-Motambo 400 kilovolt overhead transmission line project. The project aims to strengthen the transmission network and accommodate the existing suppressed demand and the expected load growth to the central and northern regions of Mozambique, as well as to enable interconnection with the Southern African Development Community power transmission grid. Also, in a quest to expand energy to rural areas, Portuguese group Visabeira Infraestruturas and company Eletrotech SA won three contracts valued at $24.5 million as part of the implementation of the Pro Energia project launched by Eletricidade Moçambique, which could cover more than 200,000 families. The first contract in the Manica province is budgeted at $4.9 million, while the second in the Tete province will cost more than $6.1 million. The third contract for the Zambezi province is worth almost $13.5 million. European Union officials visited the Democratic Republic of the Congo to discuss the follow-up to the Strategic Partnership on Critical Minerals signed in October. The officials are pressing for a memorandum of understanding between the Belgian Materials Recycling and Technology Group, Umicore, and the Société pour le traitement du terrain de Lubumbashi, which is owned by DRC state-owned Gécamines and the Forest Group. The ultimate aim is to set up a joint venture to extract germanium, with the EU helping finance the exploration phase. In São Tomé and Príncipe, the government has announced that the World Bank will finance a five-year project to transform São Tomé in tourism with almost 8 million euros, providing for training, infrastructure upgrading and cleaning, as the sector has been growing in terms of tourist numbers, but needs improvement in terms of the quality of services provided. The project should run for 5 years and will start in July with the requalification of tourist sites, promotion of São Tomé and Príncipe as a tourist destination, training of technicians and training in French and English languages. According to a new report by the Asian Development Bank, Timor-Leste's economy is forecast to expand by 3.4% in 2024, prompted by expansionary fiscal policy coupled with increased capital investment and steady consumption. Growth is expected to further improve to 4.1% in 2025, supported mainly by capital investment, services and agriculture. With lower inflation, Timor-Leste has an excellent opportunity to invest more in non-petroleum sectors, which will be critical to retaining and prolonging economic growth momentum. Timor-Leste is also focused on global economic integration, as the Council of Ministers of Timor-Leste approved essential decisions that should bring the nation closer to that goal. Firstly, it approved the motion for a resolution to the National Parliament to ratify the Protocol of Accession to the World Trade Organization. It also revoked the government resolution that created the National Commission for Trade Facilitation, transferring its functions to the Strategic Unit for Economic Integration. This measure aims to ensure more effective coordination of trade facilitation initiatives, in line with the necessary requirements following WTO accession, in order to intensify efforts to coordinate trade facilitation initiatives, including legislative reforms, promoting dialogue between the parties, and supporting the country's economic integration. Independent oil and gas exploration company Baron Oil's subsidiary Sunda Gas Banda has successfully completed a site survey at its Chudich 2 well location offshore Timor-Leste, confirming its location and bringing closer the company's pivotal appraisal program, which promises to unlock the Chudich development. Baron's team is continuing the preparation for its planned drilling program by advancing planning work, including the well design, whilst talks are progressing to secure a rig contract for the project. While Baron holds 60% interest in the project, the remaining 40% is held by a subsidiary of the Timor-Leste state oil company, Timor Gap BP. Lastly, good news for Macau's economy, which the International Monetary Fund predicts will grow by 13.9% in 2024 and 9.6% next year. This rise is driven by the recovery in the gaming sector and solid private investments, partly linked to the commitment of casino operators to invest in non-gaming activities. Unemployment is also due to drop to 2% this year and to 1.9% in 2025. It is also worth noting that Macau's gross domestic product expanded by 80.5% year-on-year in real terms in 2023, representing a recovery to over 80% of the pre-pandemic 2019 level.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Investing Beyond Borders. We will be back in 2 weeks' time with more developments in the Miranda Alliance world. Please join us then for more news from the 16 Miranda Alliance jurisdictions. In the meantime, you can drop by our website or LinkedIn page, where you will find more updates on our activity and legal developments of interest to our clients and followers. This podcast was brought to you by Miranda Law Firm and Miranda Alliance. You can find out more about our worldwide activities and assistance to investors at www.mirandalawfirm.com. This episode was presented by Diana Teodoro from our Lisbon office and Luis Miranda from the Houston office. Content was developed exclusively for Miranda by the Miranda Alliance podcast team. Technical support is provided by Hugo Ribeiro from our communications department. All content is subject to copyright and protected by law.